Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a busy docket today, so let's get to it. He's back. That's right. Mark Means strikes again. Second, well, now we have principals, students, and staff gone wild. And, ooh, Andrew Cuomo charged criminally for his handsy behavior. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. The channel where an actual practicing criminal defense attorney explains the facts, the procedure, and the law regarding cold cases and current actual criminal cases. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications when we go live, and please leave me a comment below about what you think about the cases today. And don't forget, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us, not only this show, but past shows, by downloading Crime Talk with Scott Reich on all of your favorite podcasting apps like Apple, Spotify, Android, Amazon Music, and Audible. All right. Now we have to support the people that help support Crime Talk. Keep the lights on. First, go to crimetalkprep.com and claim your three-month emergency food kit. In today's world of supply chain shortages and the unknown changing rules, you just simply don't know what's going to happen next. As I told you before, I had gone to Costco the other day, and they were once again limiting toilet paper. I went to a car dealership, needed a new tire, because, well, the potholes here on our roads suck. They said it was going to be 6 weeks to get a tire. All right. Well, what are you going to do when you go to the grocery store and those shelves are a little bare? Well, hopefully you'll never need it. But if you go to crimetalkprep.com, you'll receive $100 off the best-selling three-month emergency food kit. Now, this food will stay fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage, so you know it will be there and, well, hopefully you'll never need it. It's the ultimate insurance policy, but one you're going to be happy you did. Go to crimetalkprep.com, claim your three-month emergency food kit while you still can and get $100 off. All right, the docket for today, Thursday, October 28th, 2021. Well, first we have some more motions in the Vallo case. That's right. And guess what? Mark Means is back. So the motions that have been filed in the case by the Mr. Means, one thing is kind of noticeable is that, well, the other co-counsel on this case, Mr. Archibald, didn't file it, didn't even sign it. But they're apparently co-counsel, and Mark Means is going to do what he has to do. So let's talk about it in general, and then we'll go into much more detail. First, Mark Means filed a motion for the state to disclose Brady violation material. There's Brady violation. We've talked about this before. Brady v. Maryland is a United States Supreme Court's case that says that the prosecution must always turn over exculpatory evidence, and they have to turn over all evidence in the case. Even if it hurts the prosecution's case, they have a duty to turn that over. Second, the motion is also captioned, motion for criminal depositions. Third, motion for out-of-state subpoenas. And fourth, a motion to disqualify the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. That's a mouthful, to say the least. Well, let's see exactly what's going on. So, Mark Means has filed this motion alleging that his client, who's currently committed to the psychiatric facility there in Idaho, is being manipulated by her caretakers. Lori and her husband face obviously multiple charges, including the murders of her children, Tylee and JJ. In June of 2020, the bodies of her children were found in the pet cemetery on Chad DeBell's property. Lori and Chad are known to have extreme religious beliefs, hence Lori's nickname, the Doomsday Mom. Now, Lori and Chad DeBell believed in reincarnation and that Lori DeBell was a goddess sent to bring the second coming of Christ. Now, earlier this year, Lori was deemed not competent to stand trial and confined to an Idaho psychiatric facility for treatment. Once she is deemed competent, her case will go forward. Now, according to these motions, this is a broad overview, filed by Means, Lori and the clinician treating her at the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare watch Chad DeBell's change of venue hearing together on October 5th of 2021. Okay, that's all right. I mean, frankly, she could watch it. It was open to the public, and my God, she's a defendant in the case. You would think it'd be okay to watch it. Now, during that hearing, the clinician recommended that Lori should contact LDS Church Headquarters legal counsel, discuss her case, and possibly obtain new legal counsel. It's alleged that the clinician even reportedly provided the phone number and told her that making that call was a part of her treatment. According to Mr. Means, Lori didn't want to make that call. She felt forced to do so. It was like her homework assignment. And when she told her Lori told her treating clinician that she had informed Mr. Means about the call, clinician said, "No, you didn't." Now, Lori spoke to Daniel S. McConkie at the LDS Legal Counsel offices, and according to the motion, Lori made Brady violation disclosures under the guise that the church was her friend and was there to assist her. Means insists Lori would not have made those disclosures without McConkie's assurances that he already knew every detail of her case. Now, Means reported that McConkie never disclosed to Lori that there was a conflict of interest or that their conversation was not, in fact, protected by attorney-client privilege. Lori believed she would be protected by the rules of the spiritual world. Means stated that McConkie disclosed the details of the conversation he had with Lori to prosecutor Rob Wood. Wood later revealed that Lori only told McConkie that she wanted a new appointed public defender. According to the motion, this was not true. Now, in the motion, Means goes to describe Lori's obsession with LDS Church and her belief that LDS legal counsel can control and manipulate the court system, judges, prosecution, and the like in this very case. Now, according to Means, Lori's beliefs were used against her without her attorney's supervision or knowledge, and calling these actions unethical and possibly illegal. Means suggested that the LDS Church might be working in tandem with the prosecution to manipulate Lori into making statements that were not in her best interest. Now, these behaviors, if true, stated Means, are clearly unethical and possibly illegal to undermine defendants' constitutionally protected rights. Well, let's take a much closer look, all right? And we'll talk about this. Now, as you have to remember, Mark Means has always made some pretty bold and sometimes over-the-top allegations as it related to prosecutorial misconduct. And I think it's worth noting for the record, I think every allegation that he has made of misconduct, it's always unethical, illegal, blah, blah, blah. They've been denied and found to be, well, for lack of a better term, frivolous, okay? Sanctions haven't been imposed, but this may be getting really close to that. Now, Rob Wood has put out a statement saying that he's not going to talk about these motions that have been filed because they're usually filed under seal, given the fact that there's medical information which would be protected under various HIPAA laws. So as I stated, the motion very generally goes on. It starts off all these motions to state disclosure violations, Brady violations, criminal depositions, etc. So let's go through it in much more detail. So the motion outlines that on June 8th, the court entered an order of commitment regarding defendants Miss Lori Vallow / Daybell, and she was further committed to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Apparently, on October 15th of 2021, Mr. Means went down and met the defendant, Lori Vallow, in person at the committed site under the control of the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. And during this discussion, it was brought to my attention of unethical and possible illegal activity, discussions, disclosures, and manipulation of the incompetent defendant. Prior to said meeting, the defendant was and currently is being treated by a clinician believed to be employed by the facility, and that on or about October 5th, said clinician and defendant were engaged in watching the transfer of trial motion regarding defendant Chad DeBell. During the hearing, the clinician allegedly recommended that the defendant, Lori Vallow, should contact the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS, their counsel, to discuss her case and possibly obtain legal counsel to assist her in her case. It's also alleged that the clinician took the recommendation further and then provided the defendant with the direct telephone number to contact the LDS Church Council and issued an order that it was part of the defendant's homework for her treatment. Now, the clinician apparently checked in with the defendant to ensure this assignment was completed, and the defendant was thought it was a good idea to call the LDS Corporation. It says that the defendant would not have done so on her own without the prodding of the employee, the clinician, and that the defendant repeatedly said she didn't want to call LDS Church for the fact that it was a mandatory homework to call and discuss the disclosure. Sometimes after this mandatory homework assignment was issued to the defendant and the LDS phone number was provided, the defendant called apparently the church headquarters in Salt Lake City, Utah, spoke with a female receptionist and asked to speak to the church legal counsel. The receptionist asked who this was. The defendant disclosed that she was seeking legal counsel regarding her case and gave her name. And then she was transferred to the chief legal counsel, Mr. Daryl McConkie. Now, apparently the defendant introduced herself and Mr. McConkie by name and made a Brady violation disclosure under the guise that the church was her friend and was there to assist in both temporal and spiritual matters directly regarding her current criminal state of legal affairs. He apparently bragged about his experience as a criminal litigation as a prosecutor and told the defendant that he knew every detail of her case. This led the defendant to make disclosures without any assurances. McConkie's legal counselor never advised the defendant of the possible conflict of interest, that he was not licensed in Idaho to practice law, possible Brady violations, impossibility of his representation of her in an Idaho criminal matter. But apparently, Mr. McConkie was eager to discuss her case, but only after certain disclosures were made by the defendant. Now, Ms. McConkie told her that he would assist her in finding an attorney that could legally practice law in Idaho and possibly provide her assistance with her matter. Now, you have to remember what's taking place here. You have an attorney that is taking the word of his client who is incompetent because, well, let's face it, she thinks she's a goddess and she's here to for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I think you'd have to take what she says with a bit of a grain of salt. The allegations then go on that Ms. Vallow said that she relayed that she had contacted the conversation with the LDS counsel to Mr. Means, and she looked rather concerned. Mark Means alleges that it's publicly well-documented obsession with the LDS Church / corporation and her controlling beliefs of its divine origins and truth in religious matters. And to the point, the LDS Church and its legal counsel and the like control and manipulate the court system, judges, prosecutors, and the like in this very case. This imbalance or unrealistic belief appears to have been purposely used against the defendant to engage in something which would get her in trouble. Okay. Now, Mr. Means is alleging that the LDS Church has embedded himself into this case by way of his public statements and has incentives to disavow connection between the defendant and the church. And then Mr. Means goes on and says that the prosecution has allowed or attempted to manipulate essential witnesses with the use of the LDS Corporation, the church, LDS language, and LDS positions of power, specifically as to essential witness Melanie Gibb, David Warwick, and April Raymond, and this includes formal court proceedings. So, Mark Means is asking for the state to disclose communications, including but not limited to Brady violation disclosures. Well, I really think Mr. Means should go and read Brady v. Maryland, okay? The prosecution obviously has a right to turn over, has a duty to turn over everything that they have about the case within their control and possession. And if the church contacted, or if the church council contacted the DA's office, there would be some memo that was obviously turned over at some point to the defense, or will be. But if the client calls up and makes admissions or statements to somebody not her attorney, well, what can you say? She's incompetent, and we'll just have to wait and see. Let's just say I take with a bit of grain of salt what Mark Means puts in his motions. Maybe he's completely 100% accurate, but I think it's a little bit over the top once again. So he's asking for information and he wants to get this everybody on board and start having motions. And then he wants depositions. He wants depositions of Robert Wood, the prosecutor. Not going to happen. depositions of the clinician, out-of-state depositions of the attorney, Mr. McConkie, the Utah attorney, and any other LDS officials or persons privy, authorization issuance of out-of-state subpoenas, and order of productions. Once again, I've said this before. In criminal cases, you don't have depositions. You can go interview witnesses only in a rare circumstance. If there is somebody that is going to pass away, they're going to go out of the country. You can take a preservation deposition. Yes, that's about it. You can subpoena people. You can interview them, but they can refuse to talk to the defense investigator or defense attorneys. Out-of-state depositions. The court in Idaho has no jurisdiction over anyone in Utah and cannot order anyone to appear for a deposition in Utah for an Idaho case. The court has no jurisdiction to do that. Same thing with subpoenas. The subpoena from Idaho to another state like Utah, for lack of a better term, is usually not worth the piece of paper that is written upon, okay? It'd be highly unlikely that anybody would respond. And to get subpoenas and things of that done, you have to do what they call basically an interstate rendition where you go to court here and say, here's a subpoena or here's a summons for somebody to appear. Then they have to have those people appear in the state court to have them appear to say, you need to appear in court to do this. It's not a simple process. Now, Mr. Means is working as a court-appointed counsel. Guess what? You got to be able to pay for it. And they're probably not going to pay for that unless you can clearly articulate that. He also wants everybody disqualified from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Specifically, anyone from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare and their agents for treatment or involvement with the defendant. Really, where is that going to take place then, Mr. Means? Really? Lori Vallow is in the control, care, and custody of the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Where do you think she is going to be restored, Mr. Means? He wants an order of conduct to all of the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare officials and his agents to protect her rights and oversight of defense counsel for all future treatment and the like provided by the state. Once again, Mark Means is trying to interject himself in basically supervising the restoration process of Lori Vallow. Let me just calculate here what the chances are of prevailing that in my humble opinion. Zero. That's right. Zero. Not going to happen. Once again, Mark Means is at it again. He is coming out swinging. He's been quiet. We thought maybe he had faded from the limelight. Once again, Mr. Archibald is not a signator on the motion. And in fact, he is not even listed on the return of service. Don't you think you'd probably put your co-counsel on the return of service? I would. Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment. We'll see what happens. I think a whole lot of nothing, and we'll leave it at that, at least for today. All right. Next on the docket, you all may have heard about a high school in Kentucky. Well, it's called Hazard. The school district in Hazard, Kentucky, says they are investigating social media posts of a homecoming event showing male teenagers in skimpy clothing and lingerie giving lap dances to school staff, including the principal. Take a look at these photos. They were posted on the Hazard High School Athletics Facebook page, but have since been removed. The principal of the school, Donald Happy Mobilini, was photographed in the picture and is also the town's mayor. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. The principal, exercising some poor judgment, is also the mayor. Now, other photos from the event showed teenage girls parading around in the gym in Hooters waitress costumes. Parents of the students were outraged and disgusted. The co-founder of the public education group KY120 United said this is the kind of stuff that is not helpful. In fact, it's disgusting. It appears they are sexualizing young adults. Both Principal Mobilini and the Hazard School District Board did not immediately respond to comments. Now, it's my understanding this is some sort of homecoming event, and you know, we've all heard of powder puff football games and where the roles are switched. The guys dress up as cheerleaders and the girls do the powder puff football thing and they show up. We've all seen that. Okay, and now, do I think anything is necessarily illegal here? Yeah, probably not. But boy, what poor judgment could one possibly consider this to be? This is the worst judgment I've seen in a long, long time. And we talk about a lot of people that do some really dumb things. Well, this may not be criminal, but it is certainly stupid. And I'm sure because it's a school and he's the mayor, no one will be fired at all. Next on the docket, Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Hansy Cuomo. That's right. He's being charged criminally for his handsy behavior. The former New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, has just been hit with a criminal charge for alleged sexual misconduct. Prosecutors in Albany, New York, say Cuomo has been charged with forcible touching, which is a Class A misdemeanor. Now, as you may recall, the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, had previously announced her findings of an investigation found that Cuomo had sexually harassed several women, mostly former and current staffers. The next day, Cuomo stepped down, but he had not been charged with any crime at the time. This is the first criminal charges against Cuomo since he resigned in what could be described as maybe shame, although he'll never admit it. And do we ever know what happened to his dog? Seriously, he abandoned his dog at the governor's mansion because apparently he was only there for photo ops. And I'm not joking about this, ladies and gentlemen. He abandoned his dog. I mean, who does that, right? Well, if Cuomo were to be found guilty of forcible touching, he could face up to a year in jail or up to 3 years probation. And let's not forget, when you're charged with a sexual offense, you normally have to register as a sex offender. Now, if Andrew Cuomo ever was going to have trouble finding a date, not anymore. Okay, now he's being charged and some women will flock to him and support him like no other. My advice is, ladies, stay away, okay? Stay away. You don't probably want to be dating or be with a individual who has to register as a sex offense. Sure, mistakes happen, but he's a governor. He was elected governor. He's an attorney general. He knows that he should have kept his hands to himself, allegedly. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. And maybe it is worth noting, the same day these charges came out, Letitia James, the attorney general, just announced that she is running for governor. Now, Cuomo said he wasn't going to run for governor, but his website seemed to indicate that maybe he was. Betcha he's not anymore. All right. Thanks for watching. That's all we have for you today. Make sure you watch the Dumb Criminal short. You should be able to see it in your feed. Watch it, like it, share it, please. We appreciate that. All right. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.